What's up, y'all? Welcome to our YouTube channel, Africans Talk Football. Appreciate your guys' continued support. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thank you.
Welcome, welcome back to another episode of Africans Talk Football, where we bring you fresh soccer news highlighting the Africans and African Americans who have seen success within the sport. We'll also bring you news from our favorite teams within the Premier League, MLS, NWSL, as well as inform you on other top European leagues and soccer news worldwide. Whether this is your first episode with us or you've been rocking with us from the jump, again, just want to say thank you. Thank you to all of our friends and supporters. Once again, my name is Cornelius. I'm joined by my boys and fellow co-hosts. Salam, how you feeling?
Pretty good, man. It was a good Saturday. Appreciate y'all for pulling up on me. We had a great time yesterday at the game. And happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Gabriel, how you feeling?
Feel good, yeah. Definitely a fun weekend with the boys. Always good to when we all link and kick it. So, yeah, it was feeling good. How are you feeling?
Good, man. Again, just wanted to echo you both of your sentiments. Great weekend. It was a little quicker than we would have wanted, but, you know, every time we link, it's a good time. And then as well to all the mothers, grandmothers, aunts, sisters who stepped in, you know, to all the foster parents and adoptive parents, especially the moms. Just want to say happy Mother's Day to all the women out there who, you know, who have been a motherly figure in anyone's life, you know. So it's a big day. If you're so blessed to have your mom and grandmother, just give them a call, give them a hug today, and just show your appreciation and how much you love them, you know, because it definitely is important to spend time with those that you do care about. So just want to say once again happy Mother's Day. You know, on that sentiment, I want to start with the NWSL today. You know, usually we start with our teams. Going to go ahead and just go ahead and start with the Washington Spirit, man. I knew supporting the Spirit was going to be fun this year. And I will say, just being able to watch their games has been a delight. You know, even last week they got the 4-3 loss in the very, very bitter end. This year, or not this year, this week, they won 3-2. Very, very back and forth game. The Spirit, you know, if there's one thing, they're kind of like Chelsea this year. They're going to score on you, but they're also going to concede. You know, so they do have, you know, some things to work on in the back, but up front, they have a lot of positive things going for them. You know, I wanted to say shout out to Monday or Gift Monday with the game winner. You know, this is the second week in a row that she scored, so she's up in her tally. I believe she's at 3 goals so far on the year. To add a game winner to your belt, I believe she scored in the 82nd, 83rd minute. You know, that's huge. You know, being able to fight, come off the bench, score for your team, and then, you know, that last 10, 15 minutes defend as well. Just wanted to say shout out to the Spirit. You know, currently sitting top 4 in the NWSL right now. They're good, man. They're really, really good. You know, Trinity Rodman went out early with another injury. You know, still waiting to hear back from her. But a lot of the other forwards have pitched in. Like I said, Gift Monday, she's added 3 goals. Hatch, she didn't score this week, but she's always, you know, the point forward up top, or usually she plays in that 10 role. She has to dig back and do more over there. But just want to say right now, the NWSL is popping, man. If you look at the top 2 teams right now, the Kansas City Current and the Orlando Pride, they were in the finals last year. And then Washington Spirit's actually 3rd. Excuse me, they're sitting on 15 points. And then San Diego Wave and Angel City FC right now in 4th and 5th, sitting on 14 points. So, yeah, you know, top 5 is super exciting. Just wanted to say shout out to the Spirit, you know. Got that win, big bounce back win. I know we were pretty busy this week, but just wanted to go over the top 4 for the NWSL before we move over to the MLS. And do you guys have anything to pitch in? I know we were a little busy this week, but.
No, I was going to say, man. Yeah, I was going to say we took another loss this past weekend to Louisville. I mean, I don't know, bro. It was just like another game where I just felt like we were in it for large chunks of that game, large majority of that game, we were in it, and then just ultimately didn't have, you know, what was needed to execute in the final third. But shout out to Taylor Flint. She had a banger on us. Great goal outside of the box. She capitalized off of what was a poor clearance. And then, I mean, when you guys see the goal, I'll send it to you guys. It was really nice. Outside of the box, she took one touch, settled it, bang, hit it. So shout out to her, man. I did want to say just quickly, though, I did want to bring light to Savvy King. She plays for Angel City. She had a medical emergency this past weekend versus the Utah Royals. Oh, wow. I believe she got subbed off around like the 74th minute. And I'm not really sure what happened. She just kind of collapsed. So I hope she's doing well. I mean, there were reports soon after that happened that she was responsive and, you know, she was recovering well. So hopefully you're doing okay, Savvy. And, you know, hopefully you get back onto the pitch here soon.
Facts. Yeah, Bay took an L this week, unfortunately, to Kansas City Current. You know, they're obviously one of the best teams in the league. All of their front three scored this week, which is tough to deal with. Yeah, so they won 4-1 in, you know, good fashion at home. Bay's been in a rut recently. I feel like Bay's problem right now is just, like I've been saying, offensively, you know, the front three aren't performing at a rate where they should be. Every match that Bay wins, I feel like it's either, you know, the 2-1 or 1-0 win. They're not one of those teams that can go out and get you, you know, 3 goals, 4 goals a match. And unfortunately, I feel like we know that Kansas City Current is that good, and how lethal they are up front. So, tough away match in a bit of a rut. I think out of the 5 matches, only 1 win, 3 losses and a draw. So, trying to get back on the high horse here next week. But, you know, a tough outing for the girls. So,
yeah, man, that's a good wrap up on the NWSL. So, you know, shout out to all the 3-point collectors and, you know, hopefully better luck next week for all of those who may have fallen short and dropped some points this week. But, you know, while we're in the U.S., let's keep it in the MLS. First and foremost, before we get into the MLS, you know, I just want to say shout out to TQL Stadium. As we kind of talked about before, we all took a trip down to Cincinnati to watch Brad Stuver, you know, Cleveland State graduate, and Austin FC play against Cincinnati down in TQL Stadium. Salam, thanks again for hosting, you know, bringing us some love. And, you know, we even saw FCC get the 2-1 win, man. It was really cool. First of all, just getting into the stadium. The stadium is super new, it's super clean, it's super fresh. You know, just walking around the main concourse on the first, you know, on the first level, you can almost see the pitch from everywhere that you walk, which is really, really cool. I've never really been in a stadium like that. So, you know, while we were waiting on someone in the bathroom, you're still able to kind of pop your head in and see a very, very good view. It's funny, Mike isn't here now, but we were waiting on him, you know, in the bathroom. And, you know, I wasn't wearing FCC colors. You know, I went to support Brad Stuver, Mr. Cleveland State grad. So I was wearing a CSU jersey. And, you know, coincidentally, CSU and Austin FC have the same color scheme, green, white, and black. So, you know, I was getting a little bit of friction from the FCC workers, just all good banter, you know, trying to find my seats. They're over here like, I think you're in the wrong section, you know, stuff like that. But it was all good fun. And, you know, after that little banter, I turn around and I pop my head up. And within the next 10 seconds, Evander gets his first goal right in front of us. Or the first goal of the game right in front of us about like 15, 16 minutes in. It was super cool environment, super dope to see how the city honestly like gets up for this team. You know, the stadium was packed out, 25,513. So I really got to feel the environment. And, you know, being at a Columbus Crew game and now going to my first FC Cincinnati game, yo, this Ohio soccer environment is huge, man. You know, it's massive. You know, they talk about the American footy culture and how it's not where it is in Europe and Southern America and some of these other continents, but I'm not gonna lie, man, this was super refreshing to see how many people come out to you know, the local team, support their squad, and just how cool it is. I mean, the FCC ultras, they were loud all game. You see the orange and blue smoke after the goals. It was such a fun environment. Salam, I see why you enjoy going to the games. I definitely want to go down to another one. So, yeah, that's just my little spiel. But, you know, FCC, top of the East right now. You know, we'll talk about the Columbus game a little bit later. But how are you feeling?
I feel great, man. Like I said, it was a great night last night. I mean, obviously, just kicking it with y'all. We got the dub. Before I get into Cincy, man, I did want to just shout out Brad Stuver. He was outstanding. I thought that he played great. I think that he had two really big clutch saves in the first half and in the second half that, you know, really could have determined the outcome of the game, especially when you saw kind of how the momentum was going, especially in the first half. So shout out to him, man. Definitely one of the I was telling Gabriel, I think he's definitely top five in the American goalkeeper pool that we have. So I'm very curious, you know, what this summer looks like for that goalkeeper position, especially going into this Gold Cup. But other than that, man, I thought, you know, Austin was a really good team. This was the first time that I really got to watch them this season. Brandon Vasquez, his return to Cincinnati, he scored. And, you know, they got a lot of new faces. So I think that once they're able to click, I think that they're going to be fine in the Western Conference. I think they're kind of sitting, I think, in sixth or seventh right now. So that sixth through ninth spot is pretty competitive. But no, shout out to Austin, man. And I mean, as far as Cincy goes, bro, I mean, it starts and stops with Evander right now. He was two great goal and assist. I couldn't really tell you which one was better. I thought the goal was great. The way he took that, and that was the goal that you were talking about. We were waiting for Mike, and we happened to look. They were, you know, going. They were attacking in the way that we were standing, so we got a really good view of that goal. And then the assist, bro. Like the assist, I didn't really really capture how great the assist was because they were on the other side of the field.
Yeah.
But when I watched it back on when I was watching the highlights, I was like, bro, what a ball. Like, the weight on the ball was so perfect. And then Valenzuela obviously was able to capitalize on the back post. And, yeah, bro, I mean, I said this, I think, week one. I think this is my shout for MVP, man. I think he's really going to, you know, be huge for us this season, whether it be goals and an assist and just his creativity, man. So, shout out to the team, man. I think that they played really well. Obviously, we still have a few people out. With injury in Obina, and I think once we get him back, we'll be all right. But it was good to see Kubo. And shout out to Kubo, man. You know, all the people wearing the Kubo jerseys with the Japanese lettering on the back. That's a fire jersey, man.
Yeah,
definitely going to cop one of those. So, shout out to the team, man. Like I said last week, Mike's obviously not here because, you know, he either is salty about how, you know, last night went, or, you know, he had one too many big sips. But nah, man, we are where we need to be, and that's the top of the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, that's a good place to end on Cincinnati. I just want to say, man, being able to see Kevin Dankey play in real life it was a treat. Like, that guy,
I told you, I wasn't gassing it.
Nah, that guy, he's a specimen. He's a super athlete. But not only just his speed and his physicality, the runs he makes. I mean, I saw him make probably 3-4 runs where he's just weaving in and out of the back line. And, you know, he got a few offsides, but it's just because he was getting, you know, the ball late. And honestly, I feel like what you said, Salam, once Evander and Dankey really click, like, I can easily see them having a goal and assist every game because both of those guys are just, you know, they're fire starters. They can just at the drop of the hat, just turn on and do something right. Spectacular. So just seeing Dinky, man, you center backs have to watch out for him. Not only is he strong, not only is he fast, not only can he shoot and pick his spots, he's making very smart runs and he's pulling defenders out of place and he's making it uncomfortable. So yeah, man, like we said last week, FCC, Columbus Crew, they're going to be top of the league. You know, we also talked about Inter Miami and Philadelphia. Inter Miami took an L, huge L this week, you know, lost 4-1. And Philly had to go up against Columbus. You know, since Mike's not here, I'll talk about that game a little bit. Obviously, we weren't able to watch that game live, but I did watch highlights. And what I will say about this Columbus team, they have a lot of fight, man. They scored the game-winning goal in the 93rd minute. You know, it was a corner. Rossi had a little flick to the back. Or game tying, sorry, I shouldn't say game winning. Game tying to tie it up 2-2. you know, Rossi with a flick found the homegrown player to get the goal 2-2 in the 93rd minute. This Columbus team is good. You know, they're going to have a lot of fight. Like Mike alluded to earlier, he doesn't really know where these goals come from, but the good thing is they have a lot of players that can provide moments for them. You know, Cincinnati is solid as a team. They went into Philadelphia, which is a hostile environment. Just watching the highlights, you can see how loud that stadium was. You know, that Philly Union squad is going to be hard to go into Philadelphia and get a win. You know, we've always talked about Philly being a very big sports city. When you look at the Eagles, when you look at the Sixers, you know, even when you look at the Flyers, they have a lot of history there as well. This Philadelphia Union team, it's tough to play there. You know, they have a lot of good players. Tiber Rebo, you know, they have a lot of good atmosphere. The fans are involved in every moment in the match. But shout out to Columbus. They held their heads high. It's tough to go into environment and get a point there. But yeah, this Columbus team, I think, will stay at the top. Like we said last week, it's going to be a battle between Ohio, 1 and 2 right now. So it looks like the East got to run through Ohio. You know, we were talking about a lot of teams, but the East is, like I said, man, Ohio is a very big soccer environment right now. We right. Pumping our chest out a little bit and say, hey, when you come up north, you're going to have to do something to us. I don't know if you're able to watch the highlights line, but how do you feel about, you know, the threat up north?
No, I definitely think that the FC Cincinnati, and as crazy as it sounds, I think the Columbus Crew is the team that I'm really worried about in the Eastern Conference. And I know that's crazy to say when you have Messi in the league and in the Eastern Conference. But I mean, when you looked at that Philadelphia game, to be very honest with you, bro, like, I wasn't surprised. Like, you know, on paper, you may look at Inter Miami and be like, oh yeah, this is another walk in the park for them. But if you follow the league this year, and I mean, we've said it, it's been in countless of our recaps that drop after every MLS match week, but this was a really good Philadelphia team. And this was not just like a fluke. They've been doing this all season. And I mean, you know, they just happen to show you in front of a team that everyone probably anticipates, you know, to kind of go all the way. So I really wasn't surprised about that. I think Philly's a good team, but nah, man, I'm going to be very curious when the Hell is Real derby starts, which I don't know, man. I just want to say this here, bro. We got to find a better name for that. Like we have to, man. Like, come on, man. Hell is Real. And you know where it comes from, right? I know you guys have seen this. You saw the sign going back home today. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I don't know, bro. But I think that game obviously is going to, I think, really be a good test and show where both Ohio teams are. Because, I mean, I think that we're currently the two best teams in the East right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, even if you look at the standings right now, you know, the standings, you know, stats can be manipulated, but, you know, as we get into the season, you can look at how these teams are faring in the East and kind of you can look at result versus result. Both of you guys are digging out results. And the thing is, even just watching this Cincinnati game, you guys control a lot of the pace of the game. You guys are controlling a lot of these matches. So I think that's huge when you get deep into the season. When you look at teams that have to find a goal, are you used to digging out a win like this? I think you and Columbus both have teams that can go the distance. You could play the full 90 minutes, and there's not a lot of, you know, times that you guys switch off. That's one thing I've seen. Like, a lot of teams, they might have 90 minutes, but there's a 10-minute lapse of judgment where they might switch off.
Yeah.
And so for you guys play the full 90, and you're always looking to see how you can get that advantage. So I think that's really good. Like I said, the East is going to run through Ohio. Hell is Real derby match. You might be right. Might have to change that to like the Battle of 71, but you know, something like that. It's making it a little bit more family friendly. But yeah, man. Shout out to the MLS. You know, and before we get off of them, I know we talk about this team a lot, but Gabriel, I'm gonna pose a question to you, bro. What's going on with the Galaxy? 7-0 loss to New York Red Bulls this past weekend. This is now, week 12, and they have 3 points, all off 3 draws. This is the longest start to a season winless. You know, the record was 11 games winless. Now it's 12. From going to winning the league to the worst team in the league statistically and just all around. I mean, what's going on with Denver?
I think it's I think after winning the league, and then just having this start, I really think, you know, after the first couple losses and draws, you know, kind of just thinking to yourself, all right, you know, they're still on this high from the championship, you know. I believe they started off the year with an injury or two as well. So you just look at it as, okay, you know, they'll bounce back. Then you get 7-8 weeks in, and you don't see a bounce back. And this game is just a mentality thing. I don't think at this point this team believes in themselves, and that's an issue. And that's when you see results like this. That's when you start to see 7-0s, 6-0s, you know. There are just so many lapses in judgment, individual mistakes, team mistakes. This is after the match, you know, you saw every player standing in a circle and the coach talking to someone or everyone, you know, post-match after, you know, a lot of the fans had left, you know, the other team left. And I've been on the receiving end, you know, of those talks, unfortunately. It doesn't matter what the score was, but just after really, really poor performance from the team, you know, you have to look yourself in the mirror, because now it's not, forget about your record, forget about, you know, the worst start in MLS history. You have fans who pay hard money week in and week out, buy season tickets, this is another third, to support you guys, you know, help pay your salaries and things of that sort. This is now a mentality thing, and you have to give back to your community. And that performance is not giving back to your community. That's not putting your best foot forward. That's not, you know, that's not the way LA, one of the biggest sports hubs in the world, but also, you know, just the U.S. It's not a place where you can have those type of performances in the manner that you did. And, you know, they're just in a tough spot, and I feel like this has to be a turning point for them in their season. This has to be, that talk after the match has to be, everyone needs to look themselves in the mirror. Everyone, they need to have that team meeting without the coaches. This is a 911 emergency. We need to get it together. I feel bad for them, but at the same time, you know, they're the ones who put themselves in this situation. And, you know, just as you're good enough to go all the way and win a championship last year, you have to find a way now to pull yourself out of the mud. And, you know, I have faith for them. I have faith that they can do it. It's not about the ability of them not being able to do it. They can do it. It's just, you know, will you go and do it? And it's tough, but you guys have to now earn the respect of the league. You know, you have to go in every match. I want to say it's a final, but every match you have to go out there and prove like it's your last match, because you have, I mean, forget playoffs. Let's just get one win on the board, you know? So yeah, it's tough for them right now, but this is a big test, this next match, because if they come out flat after a 7-0, and I'm not sure if their next match is home or away, but yeah, if they don't get a result this next match and it's maybe a thrashing or another 3-0, 2-3-1, we could be potentially, I mean, I don't want to speak too soon, but we potentially see one of the lowest point totals in the MLS. Just being completely honest, this is, Salam, I mean, you tell me, have you ever seen the MLS start this bad? I mean, this is the worst start, but have you ever seen, and it looks like there's no end in sight. That's the worst part about it. It doesn't look like there's an end in sight. You know, other losing streaks, I know they've been long and close to this, but, you know, you've seen glimpses of like, nah, they just, maybe it's just one moment of unluckiness or this and that, but you've seen an end in sight. I don't know if I see an end in sight anytime soon.
I agree with everything that you said, Gabriel. I think it definitely is a mentality thing, and especially Because I mean, like, obviously, like, the start that they've had, it hasn't been great, but it's everything that you said. When you concede that goal in the seventh minute, it's like that's already creeping into your guys' mind. We're already in a fragile moment, and then we concede so early, and then it's like the second goal comes in like in the 17th minute, so we're already 2-0 down. It could have been 3-0 had the key, had the I'm blanking on the attacker. I really like him, African kid, but he didn't put it on target, but like easily could have been 3-0. But nah, man, this is I've never seen anything like this before in all sports. You know, at some point, like Mike said, like, you know, you would think that they would, you know, kind of get a result here and there. But as you guys said, I don't even really see where that comes from. But I did want to say this, though. So this past week, I saw a clip on Landon Donovan's podcast and Tim Howard's podcast. And Landon Donovan was talking about how in 2010, May 8th, 2010, the Galaxy actually beat the Seattle Sounders 4-0 in Seattle. And it was like, I mean, the score was 4-0, but the way that he explained it, he was like, they really put it on them that game. Like, it was a bad game. And it was so bad that the Seattle fan base, that the club actually refunded everybody their money for that particular game. Yeah, Cornelius, you're on mute. But
I remember that. I remember that.
Yeah, so they refunded everybody their money for, you know, those people that came out to the game. And then it's just so ironic that you go into this week and it's like, wow, you just got beat 7-0 by the Galaxy. So like, I don't know, bro, if I was a Galaxy fan, I'd be like, hey man, I need my money back. You know, I flew from LA to be here in New York, and you know what I'm saying, I'm not trying to count anybody's pockets, but I just thought that was interesting, man. Shout out to Landon Donovan, shout out to the Galaxy, man. And I don't know, they need Ricky Puig back pronto, but I don't even think adding him is gonna fix anything. Like, maybe not. It's not gonna solve all their issues.
Yeah, yeah. Nah. They have issues as a team they need to figure out. This 7-0 on top of the season, it's one thing if, you know, it's just one match, it's a blip, you know, but 11 losses and then you lose 7-0 away from home, at home. Unacceptable, man. Those are at that point, you're letting in unacceptable goals, unprofessional goals, things that you get paid too much money, you know, to do. So, yeah, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, we always talk about, you know, what teams go into this season kind of putting on their goal list. What do we expect? What do we want? What do we really want to strive for this season? You know, coming off of a championship winning season, most teams would say, let's go try to get a two-peat. You know, let's go try to run it back. I believe the Galaxy are one of the only clubs in the MLS that have actually gone back-to-back, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So it's for them, this is something that, you know, is embedded in their DNA. So for them to start this way is unprecedented. It's unheard of. And like you said, G, they kind of need to have that meeting without the coach and just look in the mirror and be like, yo, what do we have to do? Because this is unacceptable at this point. But yeah, good stuff in the MLS. You know, match week 12, we're getting away. Summer's right around the corner. And, you know, as summer starts, that means that European leagues are coming to an end, man. This wasn't on the agenda, but I want to ask both of you something, because me and Salam were actually talking about this last night. I believe it was maybe a month, maybe a little bit over a month ago. I looked at the Serie A table, and Napoli was in first place with about a 3 or 4 point lead over Inter Milan, who is in second place. You know, now we are in match week 36, completely done. There are two more matches left in Serie A. Napoli is sitting on 78 points. Inter is now sitting on 77 points. Initially, I said I thought Napoli would win the league strictly because, you know, they only had one thing to worry about. They have the league. You know, Inter was at that point in time, I believe, just coming out of the group stages or in the quarterfinals of Champions League. You know, now fast forward to May and they're in the final. So for me, I want to pose this question again. Inter is on the verge of potentially looking for a double. But again, they're not in the driver's seat. They are in second place, a point behind Napoli. So if you had to give your predictions on who would win the league in Serie A, who you going with right now? I'll start with you, G.
Inter. I think they sneakily pulled a double this year, quietly, very, I want to say unexpected, kind of unexpectedly, but yep, I think they pulled a double.
So, yeah, I'm gonna side with Napoli still. I think Inter have had a great season, probably have gone probably under the radar, I would say, as far as like when you look around and, you know, we're gonna talk about another team that has done well in Germany, but Inter's have a fantastic season. But I think with the, you know, with the pressure that comes with the Champions League, I mean, the Champions League is the one that they've really coveted. Right, because you know it escaped them a few years ago when they were in the final against City, and I think that this is really the competition that they want to kind of, you know, further solidify themselves as one of the top teams in Europe. So, and Napoli, you just got to give credit to what they've done all season. The manager, the players that they've got, recruitment has been spot on. Like you said, Cornelius, they have nothing else to worry about but the league, and they're locked in. And to be very honest with you, there's very few managers other than Conte that I would want if I have a point lead, 2 points lead with a few games left in the regular season. So I think that he's built for this. The team is built for this, and they've shown it all year. So shout out to them, man. Shout out to all of them, bro. Lukaku, McTominay, all them guys. David Neres. You know, there's a lot of guys on that team that if they win, bro, Billy Gilmore, like, come on, man. What's the guy from Bournemouth that went over there? Billing? Philip Billing. Like, come on, bro. Like, you know, and Philip Billing's there too. Bro, Billing's doing well. Yeah, Lukaku is I didn't even really want to get into this. I kind of wanted to keep this for the end of the season. But, bro, if Lukaku gets this Serie A, like, bro, this is, like, low key,
he collected trophies like Infinity Stones.
Bro, low-key, he's done numbers. He's done bits in Italy, bro. Like, he's definitely, I don't know. I don't want to go as far as say he's one of the top strikers in Serie A. You got to give him his respect. I know a lot of people diss him, but nah, bro. Like, he speaks for himself.
Yeah, no, that's a great place to put it. I didn't want to dwell on this too long. I just wanted to hear y'all thoughts. And Salah, I'm going to side with you again. You know, I went Napoli just because I said Conte, you know, when you look at his signings, he did a madness. He brought over the players he thought could actually do something in this Italian league. You know, he brought over a lot of English players or players that had been in the EPL, you know, namely Lukaku, Scott McTominay. We talked about Billing. And then, you know, when you look at their last two matches, Napoli is playing two teams in the bottom half of the table. You know, they see – one more time, let me just make sure I get these teams right. They see – Parma and Cagliari, you know, both bottom table teams versus Inter. When you look at who they have to see, they see Como, who we talked about last week, Cesc Fabregas doing a madness over there. That team is not none to play with. And then Como will be the last match of the year, Super Sunday. And then they also see Lazio, who is currently in sixth place in Serie A. Both very, very tricky matches. And when you look at them having to fight, and they need all 6 points in order to make this even something that they could aspire to do. When I look at them, when I look at the Champions League, I know it's later in the month, but you're going to have to decide, you know. And Salam, like you said, I think they do want this Champions League more than they would want the league. If they had to decide, if we could only get one, you know, they still feel that bittersweet loss from City a few years ago. You know, they have won the league in recent years. So it's one of those things where if you could do the double, you always want to do the double. But I don't know. They're not in the driver's seat right now, so I'm going to stick with Napoli. But yeah, man, I just want to hear your thoughts because, you know, a few months ago it was tight. Now it's even tighter. But, you know, there's a lot going on, so a lot of moving parts. But, yeah, as you alluded to earlier, I do want to stick in Europe, but talk about the Bundesliga. Just want to say shout out to Vincent Kompany. Man, first black manager at Bayern Munich, first black manager to win the Bundesliga. You know, there's a lot of storylines, but I'm going to just give it to you, Salam, because we were talking a little bit about this before we started recording. But just drop a couple facts, you know, a couple firsts, a couple lasts. I know you had a laundry list.
Yeah, man. So at the beginning of the season, we did a year. I don't know if you guys remember. We did kind of like a European prediction, and Vincent Kompany was the one that I picked. I really liked his story, man. I loved him getting an opportunity to coach at Bayern. So if you don't know, this past weekend was a significant one for Bayern Munich, not just because that they won and they, you know, clinched the Bundesliga, but Vincent Kompany is the first black manager ever to manage a team in the Bundesliga, and he won the championship in his first season. You know, he was a guy who I felt like got a lot of scrutiny when he got the job, because they said, you know, how are we going to give this a guy who was coaching Burnley this massive of a task? And, you know, Bayern is kind of going through a rebuild in their own way. They're still competitive, but, you know, when you think about a lot of the older faces, you know, they're starting to kind of phase out. Müller being one, he just played his last game. But no, I really just wanted to recognize Kompany, man. Definitely, you know, he's learned from one of the best in Pep Guardiola. And I think that if he can continue this, and if they can continue to trust him, he can really build something here in Bayern. But not just him, Michael Olise, he helped the the whole campaign. I'll ask you guys at the end of the year when we do, you know, our kind of season recap on who you guys think was the signing of the season in Europe. And he's probably my pick, just off the top of my head. I mean, I could probably give you a few other names, but he's been massive for them as well too. 11 goals, 14 assists. And then I'm saying, obviously Harry Kane got his first one, right? So, you know, he got the, what is it? The elephant off his back, right? We can't say that he's never won anything before. He's won a Bundesliga, the highest honor in Germany. So shout out to him.
Shout out.
It was
ED.
Good, man.
Eric Dyer.
Yep. Shout out to Eric Dyer as well too, man. but no, nah, man. And you know, the thing about Harry Kane, man, was like, it was kind of cool to see how happy he was, like lifting the trophy, bro. He was ecstatic, bro. He was smiling ear to ear. And I was like, you know, at Tottenham, I always recognized him as a good player, but obviously I never saw him winning anything, but it was a cool sight seeing him as happy as he was. And then the last person I really wanted to recognize was Thomas Müller, man. One of my favorite players of this generation. Saturday marked his last game for Bayern at home. 750 games, 247 goals, 176 assists, 12 Bundesliga titles, 2 Champions Leagues, and a ton of other silverware that he's racked up domestically in Germany as well, too. Also has a World Cup. You know, one of the, I would say, icons of German football for sure. I mean, this guy was playing back with Bastian Schweinsteiger and all these
guys.
Michael Ballack, and you talk about and was like playing too as a youngster. Man. He was tasked to like to play, and you know, definitely, you know, another example of what longevity looks like in European football, man. And shout out to him, man. It was kind of sad, bro. Like, you know, seeing him kind of say goodbye. I feel like I'm a little bit older than you guys, but you know, our generation of at least the players that I was watching kind of growing up, I feel like they're starting to really phase out. And he was really one of the last kind of pieces to that. Was a really big mainstay in the 2010s. So shout out to him, man. Incredible career. I'd love to see him here in America. He's linked with a few teams. Maybe he fancies a LAFC or LA Galaxy trip. But obviously he wasn't feeling FC Cincinnati, which is fine because I'm going to save it for my shout out, but it's all good. But yeah, shout out to you, Thomas Müller, Bayern Munich. You talk about, the last thing I want to say is, man, you talk about bouncing back from Bayern Leverkusen winning the league last year. I feel like this is how you do it. You know, you get a manager you trust in, you let him bring in the players that he wants, and you let him do his thing. So shout out to Vincent Kompany, the first black manager ever to manage in the Bundesliga and to win a Bundesliga in 2025. That's kind of crazy that it took this long, but it shouldn't have took this long.
No, that's huge. I think it's massive for everyone who, you know, it looks up to Vince Accompany. Because, you know, like, if you look at Company's career, man, he's just been head down, hard worker, captain at City, leaves City. He instantly goes into managing. And, you know, like you said, people were looking at him after the Burnley job thinking, can this guy manage the biggest club in Germany? Are we even, you know, should we even give him this appointment, you know, to follow up, you know, the wealth of managers that they've had at that club? It's just massive that he was able to do this in this fashion. And it's just, you know, bright future ahead. So shout out to Vincent Kompany, man. Let's turn it over to, you know, the teams we love and support, the English Premier League. Honestly, with 2 weeks left, it just makes sense to talk top four right now because that makes the most sense. Obviously, Liverpool has already wrapped up the league. But 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, those will get you European spots, whether it's Champions League, Conference League, or Europa League this year. And those 2 through 7 spots are really coveted right now. Just going to go ahead and start with Chelsea because I came over here last week and I pumped my chest. And I told everyone I thought we would win out, told everyone on this podcast and everyone listening and to my friends who are here with me, my fellow co-hosts. Okay. We'll get it done. And, you know, that was a perfect time. It was great. But look, man, we were in Cincinnati. Gabriel and I woke up early this morning to drive home to Cleveland so we could spend time with our beautiful and wonderful mother. And we had the game on, you know, in the audio in the car. Gabriel, Mike, and I all drove up from Cincinnati to drop Mike in Cleveland. And Nicholas Jackson not only ruined part of my Mother's Day, but he single-handedly proved to the entire club why he doesn't deserve to be there next year.
Wow. To be there at all?
To be there at all. Mm. Not even on the bench for me, because this proved to me that not only do you not care about the team, you don't care about you don't care about the well-being of yourself, right? Not only did you come off injury, and there have already been questions about whether Chelsea should go ahead and buy a new striker, whether Chelsea should go ahead and stick with Nicholas Jackson, whether this is the guy that's going to lead us into our future. Because I've been on here multiple times and I've said, look, Nicholas Jackson has the intangibles, man. There are a lot of positive things about this guy. But the thing that I need him to do is keep it simple. Just keep it simple. Last week, I was in the group chat talking about how many times does Nicholas Jackson have to be offsides before he realizes he's being a detriment to our team? And you know, there are a lot of different things that I've said, but, you know, just your in-game play, you know, as a center mid in the past, I said this, if my forward in the first half is offsides 4, 5, 6 different times, as a center mid, now I'm thinking, I don't know if I should play him this ball because, you know, he's been offsides so many times that now I'm thinking different. Now maybe instead of going down the middle when I see him in between the center backs, I shift the ball around and I go to the left or I go to the right, and you know, I'm looking at different points of attack. And as an athlete, I can kind of see our team kind of feeling that way. But enough about that. The first half, Chelsea came in scared, and this game was chalked up to two mistakes. The first mistake, which we played around with the ball in our defensive third, Lavia couldn't get the ball out of his feet. Newcastle gets the ball, and they capitalize early. Goal. First 5 minutes, they score a goal. So now, not only are we in hostile territory on a game that is, at this point, the most important in our season, having to fight back, we now have a forward who, later in the first half, gets a red card for no reason, fam. For no reason. I mean, the foul happens. Gabriel's just like, idiot. That's a red card. Yeah, they came out with the yellow, but when you see the foul, he went elbow up. He looks at the man. He jumps at the ball. He jumps in the air, doesn't look at the ball, takes his elbow, and clean attacks the man in his head. first and foremost, that's just not a football play. As a football player, there is no one who can defend that. I know Enzo, as the captain at the time, was looking to the ref and trying to defend, and that's his job. I understand that. But personally, man, when I see that, it just is so depleting, you know, emotionally, mentally, and as a player on the pitch, you want to defend your boys, but it's just so unacceptable. It's so unacceptable as a football player to just complete such a non-football play, such full of malice. And then at the end of the day, it's like, for what? Like, what did he do to you in the first 30 minutes that you felt that you had to retaliate? Because I didn't see any malice, any hostility from Sven Botman to Nicholas Jackson in the first 33 minutes that were played before that foul happened. So maybe there was something off screen. Maybe he got in his head. But then you have to realize you're a professional player, man. This is part of the game. If a player is getting in your head, you know how you get back in his head? You beat him 1v1. You take him on. You go circles around him. You beat him for speed. You wrestle with him. You don't foul, but you get physical with him and let him know, I'm here and I'm not going away anytime soon. But to see a player on your team do such a malicious attack on someone else, it's just so heartbreaking. It's just so, so heartbreaking. And I don't really want to dwell on that because Chelsea had a very good second half. You know, Newcastle, honestly, I was saying it. The whole second half, I'm like, this team is shaky right now. They don't have control of this match. I know they're up 1-0, but we controlled the whole second half up until the 82nd minute where Reece James could have equalized it. And you know, football is so cruel. Football is so, so cruel. Reece James has a perfect opportunity, you know, to tie it up. He heads the ball high and wide. 2 minutes later, they come down and score the game-clinching goal, 2-0. And, you know, I looked at Gabriel, and the whole time we're driving in the car, and I'm like, look, all we need is one, fam. All we need is one goal to equalize, and we are fine. It's okay if we drop points to Newcastle. We still have a lot that could fall. City drop points. You know, Nottingham Forest played after us, but Nottingham Forest drop points. You know, all the teams that are in contention for this top four, top five Champions League spot, they did us a service. You know, Leicester was even able to do us a service by helping us out today with the Nottingham Forest game. But, you know, it doesn't matter because we didn't complete. We didn't get any points out of this week. And, you know, shout out to the boys because second half showed me a lot of fight. Even though we didn't get the job done, second half showed me a lot of fight. And look, we see a very, very uninspired in the league Manchester United next week, and we see a Nottingham Forest that has been very topsy-turvy over the last couple of weeks. So we still have these top five Champions League spots in our sights, but I said it at the top of my little spiel, and I'm going to end it with this. I do not want to see Nicholas Jackson on our team. And I know as an organization, there's probably a lot of things that they're going to look at, but for me, I'm totally done with this player, man. And I'm going to support him if he decides to, you know, if we decide to keep him as a Chelsea Blue. But I personally am emotionally finished with this guy. He showed me that he doesn't care about himself. He doesn't care about the team. And it's just so selfish to do something like that when you know how hard we've been fighting to revamp. I mean, these last 3 years have been very, very tough for Chelsea. You know, I said it last week. I think we're in a spot now where we can really, really do some damage. This team is starting to finally gel. But today was just so disheartening, man. I just want to end it there. I don't know if you guys have much to say about Chelsea, about the match, about the top four at all. But for me, today was tough, bro. Today was really, really tough.
No, like I said in the car, he ruined the match for me. And he ruined the match for his team. The fans there at home all across the world. I mean, it's just so dumb. I mean, I could see him not playing a match in a Chelsea shirt ever again. Like I said that in the car.
You don't think that it was like Gabriel? You know, you played at a high level. We've all played. Like, you know, that kind of stuff like does so happen long. In the game though. That so does happen in the game though. You got to think about. Hold on. Before you go, I'm just trying to say, like these professionals, they're very calculated in what they're doing. Now, obviously, the optics of this particular situation isn't good because when the camera views to him, he looks and then he kind of places it, I wouldn't have looked. You know, you just kind of have to anticipate that the dude's face is going to be around there. But that kind of stuff happens, bro. When people go into tackles, you don't think that they calculate, like, based off of where I am in relation to this particular angle to in this challenge, that I'm going to probably leave my leg out so that I can kind of get him on the back end. Like, bro, that stuff happens in this, in the game. I think that this particular situation, he just did not play it off well because he looked at the dude and it's like, oh, okay. But if he didn't look back and he did that, I think that it would have been a yellow.
But Salam, it all looks bad. But bro, why is your elbow that high in the first place? It's not like he caught him on the ground. Pre-jump, he didn't even catch him in the air. It's one thing if we jump in the air and you elbow him in the face. All right, that's one thing. Bro, it looked, Salam, this looks so deliberate. It looks nothing like a football play at all. And that's why I'm just like, nah, I have no remorse, or I don't feel any empathy for you. Because you didn't make a full, if you would have jumped, sure. You know, there's time in between that. But this is a calculated play. And I can only say, I don't know if he may have said something, or I didn't see anything that happened, you know, prior to him jumping. But sorry, I feel like I'm about to sneeze. Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Thank you. But it's just unacceptable. And the thing is, you know what your team is fighting for. You know you guys have a goal. You have something that you're very much playing for, and this is a big match. Both teams are playing for, you know, top four, top five. So it's only going to be tougher to, you know, you're playing a tough match in a hostile environment. You need a tough result. This is the last thing that anyone needs. And he ruined a good match, honestly. Chelsea with 11 men, I think, looks a lot differently, obviously, playing Newcastle, especially with the second half that they had too. So, yeah, man. I mean, I hope he's apologized to his teammates. I think he should apologize to the entire Chelsea football fan base as a player, because this is just something that's just so unacceptable. We can take two yellows. We can take, you know, but you, bro, you're a striker. And I said this in the car. I know this all too well. I've dealt with this so many instances of my players getting a red card. I mean, I've dealt with a red card today. Thinking about red cards, Moreno got a red card today. So I've dealt with it. I understand it. And, you know, it's bad enough that it already happens, but when it looks so deliberate like this, this one, you just have no remorse and no empathy. And that's what that is to me. So,
and bro, and the thing is, like, this is not the first time he's done this, bro. And I'm not necessarily saying the foul, but this is not the first time he's jeopardized Chelsea's ability to win a match. And bro, like I said last week, this is where it matters. Just last week, I was on this podcast talking about, you know what? I didn't want to see Caicedo at right back, but Maresca got it right. You know what? I didn't want to see Nicholas Jackson play 70 minutes, but when we brought on Jadon Sancho, we saw something different, and we got that third goal to beat Liverpool. And what did I say this morning before we left your house? I said, Salam, you see the lineup? Same 11 as last week. This is the first time in 36 weeks Enzo Maresca did something I've finally been asking him to do. When we need to go into battle and we need to get a win in hostile environment, who is that starting 11? Who are those people that you trust to go get a result when the going gets rough and the rough got to get going, bro? Who are those 11? And we saw those 11 today for the second time. And even before the whole foul, I was like, look, Nicholas Jackson's having a terrible match. But what we're going to do is, if we can get out of this half 1-0, I would love to see Sancho. I would love to see Sancho second half. Don't even wait 70 minutes. Bring him on in the 60th. Because last week when we brought him on, you saw the team kind of get rejuvenated again. You know, we've had our tiffs about Sancho, but what I will say, in a Chelsea blue, he's able to take players on. He adds something different that a lot of our players don't do. We didn't even get the chance to run at him with a full 11. And in the second half, we still showed fight, bro. We still showed so much, you know, just that ability to try and go change the match. And for me, that's why I'm frustrated. Because just like Gabriel said, Chelsea with the full 11 in that second half, who knows what happens? Who literally knows what happens? And we could be sitting here having a totally different conversation, but You know,
so he's out for the next three games.
He's out for the season, bro. It's a straight red. You're out for four. You know, you're out for that game plus the rest. He's done. He's done. So
it's,
you know,
it's
like,
so much bigger than just this game. It's so much bigger than.
And that was my whole thing, bro. Like, you, not only have you ruined this match for today for us, we now have to go into the next two matches where they're both must wins, and we have to fight without our starting striker. Not that I'm so opposed to it because I've already been done with him, but for me, man, it's just it's so selfish. You're only thinking of yourself. You're not thinking of the team. And like I said, like Gabriel said, he should apologize. He really should apologize. If he truly cares about this club and truly wants to, hey, camera, look at me. Nicholas Jackson, as a Chelsea supporter since 2003, if you truly care about this club and you truly want to be here, I better see an apology. And none of that, whatever, you know, let me type it out on IG and post on my, I need to see your eyes. I need to see a solemn apology to everyone in the club, because that was unacceptable, bro. It was. No, I'm so serious, and I'm trying to stay calm because the Cavs are losing right now, and I'm halfway on the verge of a crash out. But yeah. I'm so serious.
Oh,
I never want to see him in a Chelsea blue again. That's how I'm feeling right now. I never want to see him in a Chelsea blue again. I'm going to end it there.
I did want to say this, though, real quick. I mean, City obviously dropped points to Southampton as well, too. We couldn't have anticipated that, but we brought this up before we started recording. So Nuno Espirito Santo was seen, I guess, getting talked to by the Nottingham Forest owner, Evangelos Marinikas. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing his name, but bro, I don't know if you guys saw the video.
Yeah.
They had like a real, it was more so one-sided. It was more so the owner kind of talking to Nuno about just what was going on, doing a little bit of reading. Obviously, doing a little bit of reading, it says that the owner was upset based off of a substitution that was made or wasn't made. I'm not quite sure what it was. But understandably so, bro. Like, I feel him. Like, bro, this was a team that was in third place, and we were talking about Nottingham Forest back into the Champions League. Like, you know, this is really gonna, especially with this new owner, you know, this is the kind of platform you need to kind of attract players and to kind of keep the players that you do have, because, you know, I mean, there's already talks about their best players leaving the club, so, you know, being in Champions League obviously is going to help that. And for you to go from third place to, I don't even, are they what, sixth now? It's like, bro, you're not even.
I believe, actually, let me check the table, because I know, because Newcastle just won and they're level on points with us, so they might be seven. Yeah, Nottingham Forest is seven with 62 points.
Yeah, bro, and they were third, man. And you think about, like, bro, like right before Christmas, we were talking about, like, oh my God, this is one of the best stories in football. And I would say since the new year, I'm not quite sure when it started, but bro, they've fallen off, man. And to be very honest with you, I don't think that they make Europe. I think that it's – they almost seem like they've ran out of gas. And I don't know, bro. Morgan Gibbs-White apparently was rumored to be leaving as well, too. So I don't know, man. This was definitely a missed opportunity for them. If they don't get one of these European spots, even Conference League, man, get into a European competition – you know, that's going to attract more players to come in here. Clearly, you've shown that you can, you know, do a good job of recruiting, but not having Europe, it's really going to be tough for you to attract the players that you need to kind of sustain that level of success. So,
yeah, I just think, from outsider looking in, I just felt that's so unacceptable from the owner. Like, there's so many other ways to express frustration that I'm sure not only you feel, but everyone down, you know, from the staff, players, fans, like everyone feels this frustration. It's not the time to crash out on the pitch. I understand we got a disappointing result against a team that's getting relegated, but those are the type of things that, I mean, kind of they ruin the congruency and the consistency of the club. You know, when you see owners act out like that, you know, you have a lot of eyes on you. You have, you know, you have, in a sense, you have people picking sides, like who's right, who's wrong, and you don't. That's the last thing you want to create within your club. People to pick sides. Oh, well, he has a point because they lost, and they might not get a European spot. But no, like, but now we're sitting here having this conversation. I don't agree with what he did. I feel like as an owner, there are so many other chances and ways you can have that conversation behind closed doors. You know, in the tunnel, you could have done this in the tunnel. You know, it's one thing, but to do it right after the match, you know, means you left your seat 5 minutes ago with an agenda. Like, I don't know. I think it's kind of uncalled for, but no, I understand frustrations are high. And like you said, you have to salvage the season by getting a European spot. Like you said, whether it's conference, say they need it, but that happening on the pitch is just, I don't know, for me, it's unacceptable.
Let me ask you this, Gabriel. Do you think that it's unacceptable, like, at all? Doesn't matter what the situation is, what the team was?
I mean, I would never want Stan Kroenke, I would never want Josh Kroenke after a 2-2 draw. Like, if we drew Southampton in this type of race, the last thing I want is my owner to come down and start yelling at Arteta in front of players, media. Like, I'm sorry. I don't know a situation where an owner would. Sure, then tell us. But I don't know. Like that, not this situation. I don't think this is the one. No.
If you think if Florentino Perez did that, would it be kind of like, oh, like that's kind of out of pocket, or would it just be like that's Florentino Perez? This is Real Madrid.
Yeah, I would think it'd be nuts for him too, because yes, you know, it's Perez and it's Madrid, but you're talking to a guy who, for Madrid's sake, you're talking to Ancelotti, who is, we call him the Don. This is a guy who's proven. So like, why are you going and talking to him in that fashion, especially for, you know, someone like Nuno? Nottingham Forest has never even been, I don't know if they say ever, but when's the last time they've even been close to a situation like this? This is a guy who took this team from being relegated, and yes, you invested a lot, but this is a team that was fighting relegation and now fighting for Europe, and within a season.
You're right.
You have to give credit where credit is due. So I understand frustrations are high and you know, all of that, but unacceptable, man. I'm sorry. And any for this situation, unacceptable for me. Completely.
I don't care who it is. I hear what you're saying. I don't want to really dwell on it too much, but I'm not going to lie, bro. I kind of like it, man. I kind of like it because I think that it keeps everybody on their toes. And I think that if the owner is on that, if he's on that smoke, then that is going to stem down, trickle down from everybody, from the manager to the players. And I mean, Cornelius could probably tell us better than anyone. Like when Roman Abramovich was at Chelsea, the managers weren't playing around. They knew what it was. You mess around and you're going to be out of here. So,
yeah, but I mean, there was a standard set. You know, when Roman came in 03, he appointed Jose Mourinho because Jose had just won, you know, Champions League over, I believe it was Porto at that point. And he was like, I'm going to go get the best manager, and I want the best manager to bring in the best players, and I want him to create the best team, right? So there was a mentality, there was precedent set. They're like, hey, we're bringing you in for this reason. And as long as you do this, you're good. Once you start to fall, then we'll go find somebody else. Like, that's what Chelsea Football Club was built on for, you know, 20 years. From 2003 to 2021-22. Not to cut you off, but this Nottingham Forest, like Gabriel said, they were fighting relegation last year. And for 365 days, them for even to be here is a testament to themselves. I mean, we've seen a lot of teams they pass up, Brentford, Crystal Palace, you know, Fulham, Bournemouth, some of these teams that have been steadily growing, Brighton's, you know, some of these teams we've been talking about over the last 2-3 years that have been steadily just growing and getting better and better and incrementally just working their way up the table. Nottingham Forest skipped a whole bunch of steps, you know, and in 1 year they've gotten here. So I agree with Gabriel that it was a little uncalled for. I don't think you need to go out on the pitch and you know, have that sort of scene, you know, especially when this is a team that clearly still has things to fight for. But yeah, that's just my take on it.
Yeah, I like you, man. I think it's another example of an ambitious foreign person that owns a team, man. You know what I'm saying? This isn't just like an American or an English person just kind of looking at his pockets like, nah, this guy, you gotta start a culture somewhere, man. And it starts with the person at the top. Damn, that was a crazy shot. Yeah, man, Gabriel, what's up with Locks, man? How we do?
Honestly, I this weekend got away from me with all the travel and such, so I didn't even
I'll tell you mine. So mine, I believe, was Aston Villa and
Fulham.
Who did Aston? Yeah, I don't know. How did they do? They
won 1-0.
Okay, bet. I had the under.
There it is. You definitely got it. I told Gabriel I wanted Chelsea money line as my lock for the end of the year. So this week did not hit. Right. It's going to be continuing for next week and the week after. So
yeah, I had Arsenal tire draw. Me somehow drew, which is great, even with the red card. So you know, I'm quite happy with the result. I'm trying to look up Mike's lock of the week. I know he sent me his as well. He had Liverpool money line, so this is not hit. Because, you know, he's just a hater.
Oh, Mike.
Oh, Mike, good. Two for two this week. 50-50.
Very good, man. Yeah, for sure. Hopping into predictions.
Yeah, we didn't really recap Champions League, but let's recap Champions League. You know, PSG, shout out to them. You know, they did what they were supposed to do at home, defended well, did not let Arsenal break that defense too early or too easily, and they were able to get some goals off the counter. They are in another Champions League final, but I really do want to talk about that Inter-Barca match, man, because in recent memories, you know, and honestly, in my memory, that is probably the best semis, two-leg battleground. I don't even know what to call it, man. That's been the best semi-final tie I've seen probably ever. You know, 3-3 in the first half or in the first leg. Didn't really know which way it was going to go. You go to the San Siro for the second leg. It's 4-3, you know, and Acerbi, you know. Shout out to Acerbi. You know, they were talking about just his journey, just as a player and who he is. And I don't have the tweet up right now, so I don't really want to butcher it. But, you know, he started off as, you know, one of the emerging Italian talents, had a very, very big upside, had a huge ceiling. A lot of teams wanted him. Went through a little bit of personal issues dealing with alcoholism, depression, got traded a few times, come to find out he has cancer. You know, I believe it was brain cancer. He beats that. Then he's on a self-fulfilling journey to get back to where he is. Inter picks him back up and, you know, for him to score the game-winning goal at home in the San Siro to take them to, you know, their second final in 3 years is just an amazing journey and just an amazing testament to what happens when you love the game and you don't cheat the game. You know, sometimes we try to cheat the game, and when you try to cheat something, you will get cheated out of what could potentially be there in the end for you. But, you know, this Inter team has just shown so much determination. You know, we talked about this Barca squad. You know, they won today against Real Madrid in the league, and they're potentially going to win the league this year, but we talked about that Barca magic and that Lamine Yamal magic and what he's been able to do just over the course of, you know, his campaign this year with Barcelona, and Rafinha as well. We talked about both of them and just how positive and how good they've been. But for Inter to dig deep and win that match, man, it's football heritage first and foremost, but it's also the most beautiful game in the world, and this is why.
Yeah, 100%, man. Cornelius, you said it perfectly, man. Definitely one of the
I would say over, like you said, over two legs, the most competitive game I remember watching in a while. I think especially that second game. I mean, I'm biased as a United fan. Obviously, like the second leg of the Lyon game was crazy for me. I feel like that was one of the most exciting games for me as a fan to see. But this Barcelona Inter game, bro, definitely one of the classics. Over two legs, we saw a bunch of great players on display, from Yamal to Rafinha to Acerbi to Lautaro Martinez.
Dumfries.
Bro, Dumfries. Like, this guy, yeah, man. This guy is, he's a real deal, man. In both legs, too. In both legs, bro. Really, you know, did well. Marcus Thuram did well, especially in the first leg. Nico Barella, bro, this team, they got a solid team. And then I wanted to save it for last, but my guy, Jan Sommer. Wow. What a performance, bro. You talk about clutch, bro. This guy, without them, I would, dare I say, without him, I don't even think that they would be in the final. I don't think that they would be. Bro, so many clutch saves in both legs, in the whole competition in general too, man. So shout out to Jan Sommer, man. You know, came from Borussia Mönchengladbach and is definitely, I mean, shit, we could probably say he's probably the best keeper in Italy right now. But yeah, bro. I mean, I can't really think.
If you want to say Maignan, but if you look where
respect. Mike Maignan is still better, this guy has had a really good – I'm going to go with my brother. But shout out to Jan Sommer, man. Incredible season. And yeah, man, I think the better team won over the course of two legs. Obviously, I wanted to see Barcelona win, obviously, just because of Yamal. But, yeah, man, I think – I feel like every superstar kind of goes through this, right? You kind of get a taste of, like, what it's like to kind of get close. And then I'm confident he'll win a Champions League, probably a few – by when it's all said and done. So I think this is the get back next year is going to be something to watch.
Yeah, I don't know if you had anything to say about it.
I mean, you guys said it all easily. I mean, classic for the ages. So, yeah, no, you guys covered it.
And in the other leg.
Yeah, I mean – I'm not going to say my shout out right now because we're about to do it. But yeah, man, we just didn't finish our chances and moments and margins. We had chances to go up. We had chances to score over both legs and we just did it. Shout out to PSG. They won it over two legs. We had our opportunities, especially early in the match, to get an early goal. Missed it, blew it. Their goals, though, they were always going to be threatening, especially on the counter because we were pushing so much. But, you know, that first goal, it's just like, man, head the ball anywhere but the middle of the park where all their players are. Head the ball out for a corner, head it behind you, head it to the left. But, yeah, you head it, you know, right in the middle where Fabian Ruiz is. And, I mean, great finish. It's nothing much more you can really say. And honestly, I think the handball is super unlucky. I necessarily don't agree with that call. I think it's a super unlucky handball, but that's the game. You go down 2-0, and I feel like, you know, even with the match and us getting a goal back at 2-1, we really had the opportunity to, you know, get another goal and potentially challenge for that third goal. And yet again, I mean, Saka, I love you, but you blew it. It's that simple. Yeah, you missed a wide open goal. Wide open. So, you know, it just comes down to margins. And unfortunately, they were better in the margins, and that's why they ended up going to the final now. And, you know, shout out to them. They played better over two legs. I can't sit here and say, you know, I don't necessarily agree with Arteta saying that we were the, I mean, if you look at our overall Champions League campaign, yes, I do believe that we are one of the best teams in the Champions League this year. If you look at our entire campaign, but if you look at our performance over two legs, our first half of the first leg was just so bad. I mean, our second half of the first leg, we played better, but still, our first leg was just so bad as a unit. You know, I go back to this first match, the second match, and I feel like, yes, we played better, but you could say you played better all you want. Were you clinical? You just were not clinical over two legs. We were so bad finishing over two legs. Can't sit here and say that we deserve to be in the final. Finish your chances. It's that simple. You only get a couple. So if you're 3 for 5 out of your chances, you have much more of a shot than going to the final if you're 1 of 3, you know, 1 of 5. We had so many chances over two legs. So, no, man, it is what it is. Congrats to them. And I'll save my shout out for them when we get the shout outs. But, you know, congrats to them. It'll be a fun final. I don't doubt that this final will not be fun. I think it'll be wide open. I don't think either team will really hold back. I think it'll be a high scoring final. I think it'll be, you know, 2-2, 3-2. Hopefully extra time. I want to see a lot of football. So,
yeah, I think we were talking about it in the car. I think this is going to be one of those finals where nobody sits back. There'll be a lot of goals. So, you know, we've seen a lot of more timid finals, I'll say, recent past. So hopefully that doesn't follow suit.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, shout outs.
Yeah, man. You know what? You know,
let's go to predictions. Predictions. Let's go to predictions first.
Oh, sorry, predictions sorry. First?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Chelsea, we see United. Sorry, Salam. This is GRG. Oh. We got to win. At home. You guys always score against us, and you guys make it a tricky match. So I think it'll be like 2-1.
Who scores for you?
Whoever has to at this point.
What's his name? The real Cactus Jack. Jackson, he's out. So
yeah, I don't.
Action Jackson.
Not worried about players that will not be on the pitch. So that's nothing Jack. To do with me.
Got plaques on plaques.
You know, this is a Cole Palmer. This is a Cole Palmer get back. We all remember what happened last year on that 4-3 screamer at the end of the match. So I think this is a Cole Palmer get back, and I would love to see, you know, either Neto or Nani be able to pitch in with a goal.
If there's one thing that I'm very confident in, it's a game against Chelsea Football Club. I told you, when it comes to this matchup, form goes out the window with both teams. But obviously, this is a bigger game for you guys than it is us. But I think that we're going to go – I think we'll get a draw away from home, especially because Amorim just seems to just not understand that, you know, we don't have much depth. I don't really want to get in too much into the game today as far as it goes with United, but the loss to West Ham was whatever. I think for me the biggest thing was, why are you playing some of these guys that played damn near the whole game on Thursday? Like, don't they deserve a little bit of rest? Like, you know that we are short on players. We don't have much depth. And, like, why am I seeing Lenny Yoro in the starting lineup? Why am I seeing Bruno in the lineup, Rasmus in the lineup? And Rasmus played damn near the whole game. And it's like, do you not understand? Like, we literally just had a game on Thursday. And then now, based off of how the game went today, Yoro left the field injured. And it's like, we don't even know if he's even going to be there for the final against Spurs. And he's going to be a big miss for us because he's the quickest center back that we have. And we need someone to keep up with, you know, their quick attackers. And I just really didn't like the mismanagement of the squad today. I think it was completely naive from Amorim. I think you clearly know that, like, where we are in the league, we're not going to get relegated. So, like, why can't you be a little bit more courageous in playing these younger players? You're already playing Harry Amas. You played Fredrickson already. Play him at center back. Play another attacking mid. Play Mason Mount. I mean, Mason Mount played today, didn't really take advantage of his opportunity after having a good two legs versus Atletico Bilbao. But I don't know, man. If Yoro is out for the final, I think this is 100% on Alvin. 100%, bro. Like, you can't be this naive. I understand that we don't have depth, but, like, he almost looked surprised, like, when he was hurt. And I was like, how are you surprised? Like, he did a few weeks ago on the press conferences, you said that players like him, players like Maguire, Mazraoui, like, we need to manage their minutes. And it's like, why not just play Luke Shaw? Like, he hasn't done anything for us since his return. I don't know, bro. It's a little naive, in my opinion. So, hopefully Euro is back. He's a big part of our back line, but I was not a fan of that today.
Yeah. I can agree with that.
Who y'all played, Gabriel?
We see Newcastle at home. 2-1 win. Get out of there.
Can you do some for me?
I think we in some stupid form or fashion, you know, when it doesn't matter to beat Newcastle, it doesn't matter. I feel like, you know, we'll finally get our win against them. So we usually lose against them, home and away. So, yeah, I think we'll win 2-1, get out of there, wrap up second place. I don't care where we finish on the table as long as it's within Europe. We can finish fifth. Could care less. So we have playing in the Champions League. So, yeah, 2-1 at this point, you know, I think we're Southampton away last match of the season. So, but yeah, last home match in front of the fans, give them, you know, a good send-off. Obviously not as successful as a season as we'd like it to be. So just, you know, for pride, go out and do it one more time for the home fans.
Let me ask you real quick. Sorry to cut you off.
No, it's not successful.
No. This ain't nothing to do with that. I'll save all those questions when we do our recap at the end of the season. I want to get your thoughts on Martin Zubimendi. Looks like you guys have got the official here we go from Fabrizio. What are your thoughts on the move?
I think it's a player that we need. Losing Jorginho this summer, he's already set to leave. I think he's going to Flamengo. Thomas Partey on his last legs. He cannot and can no longer be a starter for us. I don't think he's bad coming off the bench providing minutes, but as our number one option at that sixth role, I don't think he's it anymore. So it's a player that we need. Is he going to be the needle mover that we need? I don't know. That's not really how I see him. I have mixed emotions about this signing because I've heard about this signing for quite some time now. And, you know, we've been linked for over a year. Supposed to potentially get him last year, didn't end up getting him. And honestly, every time that I see him play for Sociedad, I haven't really been that impressed, if I'm being completely honest. I've seen things off the ball that I really don't like that are definitely not flying in the Prem. On the ball, I think he looks great. Very technical player, can play under pressure, but there are a lot of things that I look at that you get away with, you know, in La Liga that I say, you know, if you come to the Prem, I don't know how these attributes and actions will translate. And, you know, we'll see. But one thing that I do like about Arsenal this summer is that we seem to be trying to get this business done early and out the way to get these guys in the team and gelled for the entire summer. So I'm happy that we're able to at least lock up one signing that's not going to be our splash signing of this summer. I know we saw I'm linked with a certain striker right now who is looking, you know, imminent to join at any moment. And personal terms have already been agreed with, you know, the player wants to come. He's now just trying to find that fee. But yeah, you know, with the Zubimendi signing, happy to bring him on. I think we need another six. We'll just see how he performs. But I'm happy overall with the signing. I'm happy about it. I'm definitely happy about it.
Fair enough. Just getting shout outs.
I want to get to my shout out. And this guy, honestly, he played over two legs. I think he's part of the reason why I almost want to pick PSG to win the match and win the final. But Donnarumma, man, I have to give it to you. over two legs, extremely, extremely crucial and critical to this team's success. Just a leader from a young age. We've seen you be a leader, you know, from your first start since you were 15, 16 to now. Have, you know, just only gotten better and better. And over these two legs, you have made easily 5 to 6 immaculate saves that were easily goals against our players, Martinelli, Saka, Odegaard. I think Saka twice, if I'm being completely honest. Just so many chances that we had that, you know, you saved. And I have to give it to you, man. You were top class, especially over these, just in general, but over these two legs. I have to give it to you, man. You definitely pulled. You held your weight in pulling this team through. And you know, the one goal that we got was a tap in, you know, open net. Virtually, that's the one goal that we got this over these two legs. So, you know, shout out to Donnarumma. Great two legs, and I wish you the best in the final. I think Inter wins, but I don't know how it's going to swing because of the way he's performing. Is these are the type of performances that win you championships. So,
shout out. Very good. Yeah, I'll go next. I got two shout outs, man. My first shout out is going to go to Christian Press from Angel City. She scored the what ended up being the game winning goal versus the Utah Royals. Made an instant impact after she came onto the pitch. She got in the 65th minute and then found the back of the net 25 seconds after that. And it was a vintage Christian Press goal, bro. She cut it back in top corner, bro. Placed it perfectly. Again, I just one of the clear examples of what longevity looks like at the professional level. She's been doing this for a while. And that was a vintage Christian Press goal, man. And it was good to see her back, you know, on the field. And yeah, bro, you gotta love to see it, man. Second one for me is gonna go to, I don't know, I can't even remember if I said this earlier, but Kai Kamara. So the rumor is that Kai Kamara is linked to a move to FC Cincinnati, which is exactly what we need, a veteran presence that's going to help the locker room. He's going to pitch in with goals. I mean, he's done it his whole career. You know what he's going to bring to the table. And I think that he's going to be a great fit for us, man. We do need like extra firepower, and I think that he's going to provide just that. He's coming into a good team, a positive environment as well, too. And I think that, bro, it's a match made in heaven, man. It's going to work out for us very well. I'm so confident about it. And I want to see him break Chris Wondolowski's record, man. He's right up there. He's second right now. And I would love to see, you know, an African take the throne of most goals in the MLS.
Yeah, man, that would be dope. You know, in spirit of Mother's Day, all of my shout out are actually to the women today specifically. I was actually going to shout out Christian Press, you know, second game back. Last week she had the game winning assists. This week, you know, insane goal coming off. And then, yeah, just shout out, like you said, to a testament. She's one of the last remnants of, you know, that U.S. women's national team that really brought the women's team to international fame and stardom, you know. World Cup winner, Olympics winner as well. She has a lot of accolades. So just shout out to her. My other two shout outs are from the Washington Spirit. First and foremost, Aubrey Kingsbury, man. You know, on the spirit of good goalkeepers, she is a great goalkeeper. I mean, she has a highlight reel of saves just in these past two matches. But in this last game, I mean, there was a goal that almost happened in like the 80 or 81st minute. She gets a finger touch save. It hits off the bar. She ends up collecting it. And then 2 minutes later, you know, we get the Washington Spirit, get the goal to go up 3-2 and clinch the game there. So shout out to her. I know, like I said, the defense has, you know, not necessarily been letting her down, but they have been leaking goals recently. But to see what she was able to do this past weekend was huge. And then also, Got to shout out my African sister, man, Rosemond Kouassi. Got her first professional goal for the Washington Spirit in the NWSL. 23 years old from Ivory Coast. Not only did she get the goal, but she got an assist, man, the game-winning assist to Gift Monday. It's beautiful ball. She gets the ball on the right side, you know, beats two defenders, scurries around, slots it across, and Gift Monday's just there to finish it. You know, what a game for her, you know, to get a goal and assist, her first career goal. This Washington Spirit team, man, they got a lot of ballers. They got a lot of ballers. If we can figure it out in the back, I'm telling you right now, this is going to be a force to be reckoned with. And then my last shout out is to the W Sports Bar in Cleveland, Ohio. The first women's sports bar in Ohio, women owned, specifically for women. And I just wanted to read their mission statement because I think it's powerful. And, you know, Gable and I were there on Friday kind of just to check it out, you know, and we ended up watching the Cavs game there. The vibes were immaculate. We ended up staying and closing out the bar, but the bar is super cool. It's in Gordon Square in Ohio. If you've ever been to Cleveland, it's close to our downtown area. Hold on, let me get on their website so I can read their mission, because I think it's a testament to what they're doing in Cleveland and what's, you know, later to come with the women's pro team coming here in 2026. But their mission says, Cleveland is a battle-proven sports town with passion for women's sports. From the WNBA Rockers to the Cleveland Fusion to our current bid for NWSL team, a new WNBA team, our time is now. And yet, Cleveland women's sports fans have been hidden in corners of conventional sports bars with the smallest TV or settled for an occasional pop-up experience. The fact is, the Cleveland women's sports fans do not have a consistent space to call home, to rally with other fans and show their love for the game. We plan to change that. A place for all. Yes, the W is a women's sports bar, and we're proudly planting our flag there, but that doesn't mean we're shutting anyone out or excluding others. Our goal is to create a space that's inclusive, welcoming, and built for fans of women's sports, while recognizing that women's sports fans are sports fans, period. That means you'll find women's sports on the front and center of our screens and on our walls, but we'll also have men's sports as well, because at the end of the day, this is a place for everyone who loves the game. And, you know, they opened, they've been open for, I believe, just a week and a half. Last week, Thursday, Friday was like their eighth day officially opened. It was packed out. So if you live in Cleveland or you're visiting the area and you want to find a place where you can call, you know, you want to watch an NWSL game, or they even had, you know, the pro hockey team up. The WNBA season starting in a couple of weeks. I would highly, highly, highly recommend that you hit the W. I don't know if Gabriel had anything to say. I know I kind of had a little bit long shout out, but it was such a great experience, and it was so dope just to be there with fans and just be able to watch all sorts of games there. So definitely want to shout them out.
Yeah, no, I mean, amazing space. Love what they do with the space. I know for some people, you know, people think it's women's sports bar, it's like women's only. No, they're very, very welcoming for everyone. They had leagues up there that I didn't even know where you could go and, you know, find some of these sports. You know, they had pro women's volleyball. And I've always wondered, you know, where do these pro players who play in the Olympics, who play, in, you know, world or year long, but we don't know where. And just even knowing where, you know, some of these sports are being played and some of the networks that they're on, I learned a lot just being in there. So it's really just a dope environment. Really, really great place to be. Everyone working at the bar is a pleasure to be around. Leave all of the owners and a lot of people that are involved in the bar were there when we were there as well, because the Cavs played, and just they're extremely welcoming. Just a great space. Can't wait to go back just to, you know, watch NWSL games and just, you know, be in that environment. So yeah, shout out to them, man. Great experience.
Yeah, well said, guys. I definitely look forward to checking that out next time that we're in Cleveland, whenever that is. Maybe soon. But, nah, man, good episode, guys. Like I said, man, always a good time when you guys are in town. Appreciate you guys pulling up. Like, as always, you guys know you're more than welcome whenever. Great weekend, man. We got a lot of good stuff coming at you guys from the podcast. A lot of new chapters beginning. and just a lot more chapters beginning after that. So appreciate everybody for tuning in. We're much appreciative of your guys' support. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
Absolutely.
And good luck to you in your future endeavors.